now the paper is preparing under preparation, I say a few words about this. First of all, about motivations. There are indications that magnetic field plays an important role in astrophysical black holes. First of all, to be clear, I need to say a couple of words about electrodynamics of black hole. So there is a famous know-here theorem which states that the only solution which have a regular horizon black hole, asymptotically flat, solution of Einstein-Maxwell equation is Kerr-Newman space-time. So there is no magnetic field, or basically says just if rotating black hole, magnetic field is induced by its rotation. I'm speaking about a kind of magnetic field which can be present in the vicinity of black hole for the reason that it's not empty space-time. Black hole usually is surrounded by accreting disk or some matter which is conducting. For this reason, if some regular field exists near the black hole, it can be trapped for a long time by this plasma. So for this reason, there is no contradiction with know-here theorem because you have these currents and plasma near the black hole. So why magnetic fields are expected to be important for black hole physics? Reason is the following. So standard picture of black holes and the power mechanism, power device is the following. You have matter falling down to the black hole because matter have non-trivial angular momentum. It cannot fall down directly. So it starts rotating near the black hole at some orbits. So if you have the source of this matter may be different. For stellar mass black hole, usually we see them in the binary system, and this is another star, a matter coming from another star. In the large black hole, supermassive black holes in the center of galaxies, there is a matter, stars, and other things coming to the center of the center of gravity. Now, when particle is moving in these orbits, it comes closer and closer to the black hole, because of some friction mechanism. But what is important that there is a energy release because particle at infinity have mc square energy. When it comes close to the black hole, this energy is modified. It will be mc square, square root of redshift factor. For this reason, energy which may be released in this process is a difference between energy at infinity and energy at this last stable orbit. And this gives you idea about power of the black hole emission. Very often people see that black holes have what is called jets. Jets is a collimated beam of particles, relativistic particles, with a very high energy emission. So it seems that the source of the energy for jets are provided by accretion disk. So work of this gravitational field of the particle produces energy. Problem is how to transfer this energy from accretion disk to jet. And here it seems that one cannot do without magnetic field, and magnetic field is considered as some kind of explanation mechanism for transfer energy from accretion disk to jet. And second point, in order to have this long collimated object, practically one-dimensional, just you need some kind of magnetic field configuration to support it. So for this reason, these two problems appears to be one of the most important unsolved problem on black hole physics. First of all, how to transform energy from accretion disk to jet, another how to support jet. So in this situation, problem is that you are dealing with a very complicated system. You have very strong gravitational field, it's near black hole horizon. Also you have plasma, and you have magnetic field, which must be important. So you are dealing with the magnetohydrodynamics in the strong gravitational field. It's very nonlinear theory. And the last resort here, as usual, is numerical calculations. And that's exactly what Lewis is doing in different aspects. But on the other hand, what we are trying to do, we try to consider some simplified model and to find out some kind of robust properties of the simplified model, which take into account motion of particle in the magnetic field, which may be present near the black hole. So, as I told, black holes are of two types, observed stellar mass black hole, which is the final state of evolution of the heavy stars, and supermassive black hole from a mass from a million to a billion solar mass. Origin of these black holes is not well known, well understood. And one of the remarkable case of this supermassive black hole is a supermassive black hole in the center of our galaxy with a mass 4 million solar mass. Now, a couple of words about how to prove that we see black hole. So there are two steps. First step, for example, you have binary system. You can see a star which is moving. Due to Doppler effect, you can find out velocity, and it will be periodic. And you find out that there is something heavy as the second part of this system. And using Keplerian laws, Newtonian Keplerian laws, you can find out what is the mass estimation of mass of this object. If you show that it's higher than largest possible mass of neutron star, it's suspected to be candidate for the black hole. Similar things in the for the supermassive black hole. For example, for supermassive black hole in the center of our galaxy, people can see something 15 maybe more stars moving, and one of the closest stars has period of 12 years, and it's elliptic orbit. And you know parameters of the elliptic orbit. For this reason, you can calculate what is inside this orbit with a very high accuracy. So, but after you demonstrate that you have large mass and small compact region, black hole model appears to be the easiest model to explain this phenomena. But in order to prove or demonstrate that it's really black hole, you need to go further. And you need to demonstrate that in domain close to this compact object, you have effects connected with general relativity. So what kind of things which you can try to observe or discuss? Main difference between celestial mechanics in the Newtonian theory and gravitational theory is the existence of the so-called innermost stable circular orbit. In Newtonian mechanics, you can consider particle trajectory as close to the point like particle as you want, because your centrifugal potential grows infinitely. But in general relativity, effective potential fall down, reach value zero at the horizon, and have maximum. Existence of this maximum is connected with general relativistic effects. For this reason, particles near black hole cannot rotate closer than some minimal radius, which is known as the radius of this innermost stable orbit, or ISCO. Period of Keplerian motion at ISCO give you characteristic frequency for different kinds of things. For example, fluctuation in accretion disk, you can estimate it as the highest frequency connected with the period, lowest period of Keplerian orbit. And also, as I told, energy release. So how much energy is released from when particle go from infinity to the innermost stable orbit? So checking these kind of things, you may find out that these effects are purely relativistic. In particular, they depend on the rotation parameter of the black hole. So there are different ideas. This show you some plots. So I put here rotation parameter in terms of mass, and here ratio between radius and mass of the innermost stable circular orbit. When there is no angular momentum, it's 6m. So it's 3 gravitational radius, it's radius of ISCO. When black hole is extremely rotating, position of ISCO is practically close to the M position of the horizon. So there is a finite distance between them nevertheless, but in R coordinates it's so. Period changes from some period for Keplerian motion to the motion in the extremely rotating black hole, and energy release. So numbers are important here. So if you have non-rotating black hole, energy at the ISCO is square root of 8 divided by 9, and energy which can be released, it's 5% of mc square. So this is the efficiency of this mechanism. If black hole is rotating, 42% can be extracted, and rotating black hole are much more powerful. So this is the energy of test particle in gravitational field of the black hole, and I compare two cases, when particle is at rest at infinity, and particle is rotating at ISCO.
Yeah.
So this difference gives you idea how much energy of mc square, how much part of mc square was emitted before particle go from here to here. And this is emitted in terms of some radiation from accretion disk, which we are basically see. I will mention one more thing. It may be connected with what we are doing now, but it may be instructive. So there is one of the nice way to find out to get direct information about properties of the particle in the inner part of accretion disk. It's to look at special line of emission. There is a fluorescence of re-emission of ferrum atom, and there is a K alpha line, 6.7 keV. And this line is very nice because it's sharp. So if I sit near this atom and looking, it will be like delta function, practically without width. Now question is that you are sitting at some distance, and you have something rotating near the center and emitting this kind of radiation or photons. What will be the spectrum you observe from infinity? So in the simplest case, let's neglect special relativity, general relativity, just Newtonian motion. What we can expect as a form of this line? It's a very simple exercise. So in the reference frame, so in our reference frame, we can see that at some stage, this emitter is going to us, our direction, and going in the opposite direction. So there is a relative velocity which changes in time. So correspondingly, frequency will be Doppler shifted because of this, and periodically Doppler shifted. And now, how to transform this information into the spectrum? So suppose it emits photons. And number of photons emitted for a unit time by this object is constant. So what will be the spectrum of this system? The spectrum will be a number of particles emitted at given frequency, and it contains parameter d omega over dt. So using these simple formulas, you obtain that this spectrum will have this kind of description, and this will be energy line, and this is a number of emitted photons. So basically, there will be some cutoff. It will be two pikes. And this corresponding to time when particle is emitter is moving to us, and this is the opposite case. So it will be a characteristic spectrum of this atom as visible if it's rotated around some Newtonian center. So what happens if you include effects of special relativity? So there is a transverse Doppler effect, but what more important is beaming effect. Beaming effect is the following. It's emit photons isotropically in its own reference frame, but when it's moving with respect to us and we look at this emission of photons, it will be concentrated to the direction of motion, so in the solid angle along the vector. For this reason, number of particles emitted when it's going to us will be enhanced, and this will be, when it's going away, become smaller. So it will be asymmetric form of this potential, of this spectrum. In general relativity, one of the main effects is redshift. For this reason, frequency are shift to the red direction, and also intensity will be smaller, but also there is a general relativistic effect that we are propagating, photons propagating in curved space-time. So, and finally, not to compare with the experiment, people are doing the following. So they average these lines over all the accretion disk, and assume some structure of accretion disk and distribution of these emitting centers. This smooths everything down, and finally you obtain this kind of line. And this line contains information hidden about rotation of the black hole, inner most stable orbit, somehow indirectly hidden here. So this is some kind of experimental result I took from this review. It's profile of this line is visible from safer galaxy, so it reminds this kind of things. So this is one of the way how to observe more directly inner regions of the black hole. I mentioned this for the reason that I'm Sally Lenter. Now, main point of my talk is the following. So we consider simplified version, one particle approximation. We don't consider plasma effect. But in vicinity of black hole, magnetic field change, acting on charged particle can change characteristics of its motion considerably, significantly. So there are different mechanisms how regular magnetic field can arise in the near black hole. One of the people consider the most reliable is that magnetic field is frozen in the accreting plasma, and there is a regular part of magnetic field and regular one. Irregular part, when plasma comes to the innermost stable orbit, disappear, it will be absorbed by the black hole and emitted. Regular part may be supported by accretion disk. There is interesting observational evidence published very recently in September in Nature. Namely, it was studied, so there is a pulsar, and people consider radiation of this pulsar in the vicinity of black hole in the center of Milky Way. And they find out that there is a Faraday rotation. So if you have magnetized plasma, polarization plane is rotated. So they study this effect of Faraday rotation and come to the conclusion that in the few gravitational radius, several hundred Gauss magnetic field must be present. So there is other, but not so many experimental evidences.
I haven't heard about that. You mean the line of sight propagation?
So they consider. So as I understand, setup is the following. So there is central black hole and center of galaxy, and there is a pulsar
behind it,
and its radiation of pulsar is polarized, and they consider the propagation in the plasma near this black hole at some hundred or more gravitational radius, and they find out slight Faraday rotation of this light, as I understand.
So it sounds like very good fortune that line of sight comes so close. It passes more than a thousand gravitational radii away. The statement is, in order for this to produce a Faraday rotation signal, a non-zero rotation rate, you need to have ordered flux on that scale. And so what that paper does is says, well, if we have ordered flux on that scale, and we compress that flux down to the horizon, you get this number.
Assuming special scaling property, yes.
Mm-hmm. There is independent evidence, of course. Sagittarius has the highest rotation measure ever measured. It's almost 500,000. And that's actually from the source. And so that's probing magnetic field strength right there.
Okay, so now the question is that I'm not observer, so just. But we would like now to discuss whether it's strong or weak magnetic field we can use for our purpose. So. Is it the magnetic field? When magnetic field can be considered as strong? So from general relativistic point of view, we say that magnetic field is strong when its stress energy tensor have the same order of magnitude of this magnetic stress energy tensor as the curvature at the horizon. So we can compare them. It happens for a very large magnetic field, 10 to the 19 Gauss for stellar mass black hole. Certainly, it's not a situation we would like to consider. We consider a situation when magnetic field does not change gravitational and a test field approximation for magnetic field. So magnetic field on the background. On the other hand, when we consider charged particle motion, it contains a ratio of charge to the mass of the particle. And for electron, for example, it's 10 to the 17. So now, when magnetic field affects charged particle motion essentially, you can estimate as follows. So you have cyclotron frequency of charged particle in magnetic field, and you have Keplerian frequency for the orbit. Consider the ISCA orbit and compare them, and you find out that cyclotron frequency and Kepler frequency is proportional to dimensionless parameter, which contains magnetic field, mass of the black hole. So what happens when this parameter is large, or more than one at least, magnetic field cannot be neglected. For the charged particle motion. And when B is very small, you can neglect this field. So what we expect for the parameters of the black hole? So consider proton and assume that B small parameter is equal to 1. What is the corresponding magnetic field? For 10 solar mass black hole, it's 2 Gauss. For 10 to the 9 mass of the black hole, 10 to the 8 Gauss. So it's much smaller than we may expect. So for this reason, magnetic field may be important. There is one more thing I just... there is also theoretical... there is some kind of magnetic field is needed for theoretical schemes. For example, one of the explanation of possible energy in jets is a Blanford-Znaik mechanism. And it's required 10 to the fourth Gauss for supermassive black hole to produce visible power of these things. Or if you consider gamma ray bursts, in order to have this energy power, you need to have something 10 to the 15 Gauss near black hole. So for this reason, in these cases, if this mechanism used, magnetic field must be much larger than I'm discussing. So I will not speak about very large thing. I will speak about B, 1 or higher. But now, so magnetized black hole. So I can see the simplest model. Black hole is not rotating, Schwarzschild black hole. So part of this was already generalized to case of rotating black holes. It's straightforward. Main idea is to consider test field, but in this case, a test field can be constructed very easily. So the statement is that if you have, we have at least two Killing vector fields here for time Killing vector field and rotation. And Killing vector fields in Ricci's flat space time are basis equation. But it's nothing but equation, Maxwell equation for potential. So for this reason, you can consider A, which is automatically solution of Maxwell equation in this background. B is the strength of the field. And it happens that for this choice, you will have magnetic field which is homogeneous at infinity, have strength B, and near black hole it's distorted because of the black hole, but it's exact solution in this space-time. So it's well known by Papapietro and Wald thing. Now, dynamical equation. We have charged particle motion. We have generalized momenta, and for our problem, we have two conserved quantities, energy and angular momentum. Angular momentum includes this part with magnetic field because of the presence of potential in the generalized momentum. So now we consider special case, motion in the equatorial plane, in the plane orthogonal to the magnetic field. This case is completely integrable because we have three integrals of motion. So we have two integrals of motion, and also we have m square quadrat of momentum, velocity. It's three conserved quantities, and for the plane motion, it's basically three-dimensional problem. So it's system completely integrable, and you can write using this integrals of motion, this equation, radial equation, equation in phi and t. And this system possesses discrete symmetry. You can change direction of B, simultaneously change direction of angular momentum, phi to minus phi. We always assume that we make this choice, but we consider two types of motion. And they have physically different meaning. So what kind of motion? So suppose you have plane, you have magnetic field, and you have particle moving in this direction. So if angular for this particle motion, angular momentum is positive, and Lorentz force in this case will be repulsive. So this will be the most interesting case when magnetic field support motion of the particle against the gravitational field. So let's consider the trivial limit, flat space-time limit. So we put mass or gravitational radius in the previous equation equal to zero, and we obtain this set of equation, and this set of equation can be easily integrated. So simplest possible to solve this problem is to consider special choice of center origin of the system. In this case, it will be just circular motion in the magnetic field with a cyclotron frequency and cyclotron energy. But what is important is that you can generalize very easily a new set of equations, solutions from this one, simply moving the point of origin. For example, if you move point of origin here, it will be again particle moving along the cycle, but in our reference frame, it will be motion between minimal and large value of radius and some motion in phi direction. So it's trivial in flat space-time. But when you're speaking about presence magnetic field in the black hole situation, it's non-trivial because in the case of the black hole, we always take origin of our coordinate system in the center of black hole and use Schwarzschild solution in these coordinates. So for this reason, This kind of motion will be present in this our chosen coordinate. So in the wild field approximation, to when particle is far from the black hole, practically you will have homogeneous gravitational field, magnetic field in the orthogonal direction. So what kind of motion will be in this case? You can linearize the problem, but physically problem becomes very simple. So you have magnetic field, you have orthogonal to it gravitational field constant. Now what will be the motion of a charged particle in this configuration? So instead of a gravitational field, you can use magnetic field of the, so that the strength will be the same. What you have the problem that magnetic field and electric field are orthogonal one to another. What will be the motion of charged particle in this situation? It's very simple. You can find out transformation or to come to some velocity where electric field vanishes. In this frame, it will be rotation along cycles. If you return to original frame, it will be cycles which are moving with some drift velocity. So this is exactly what we have here, this kind of trajectories. Now let's consider a strong gravitational field case. So we introduce dimensionless quantity using a gravitational radius as a scale parameter. And dynamical equations are written in such a form. L is just angular momentum. B is a dimensionless magnetic field, which introduced earlier. E is the corresponding energy in these units. The attractive Lorentz force is a minus sign of angular momentum and repulsive plus. So our equation, this one is radial equation. So if we look at the radial equation, oops, just a minute, it has effective potential. So main feature of this effective potential is that it's growing at infinity. So what does it mean? It means that all the particles are moving in the bounded region. And the reason is very simple. If particles start moving outside of the black hole, magnetic field return it back. And it cannot go to infinity. It will be going around. So at horizon, this potential vanishes. At infinity, it grows in such a way. So the form of effective potential depends on the your integrals of motion. Basically, there are two different kind of situations. So potential which have minimum. So it may have only one minimum, one maximum, or don't have any extremum at all. So if it doesn't have any extremum at all, particle motion will be motion from the black hole and returning back to the black hole. So it's not stable orbits. In order to have some orbits which are living long enough and bounded, you need to be near minimum of this potential. And if it's exactly at the minimum, it will be circular motion. If it's slightly above, it will be oscillating with the cyclotron frequency near this circular orbit. So when you change parameters, for special choice of the parameters, you obtain situation when there is a transition from situation with one minimum, one maximum, to situation without extrema. It is a point where these conditions are satisfied. And this is a definition of the innermost stable circular orbit. So it's impossible to have circular orbits or bounded orbits closer than defined by this equation. So we have three parameters in our problem: position of circular orbit, radius rho, angular momentum L, and magnetic field B. All other can be expressed through this. So we have two relations. So it means that we have one parameter family of solution, and we can find out other two parameters in terms of one. Analytically, it can be done if you choose as a parameter, independent parameter, position of innermost stable orbit, plus minus for the positive and negative angular momentum. This is the value of corresponding magnetic field and angular momentum. So let's consider a case when magnetic field is strong in terms of this parameter B. B is large, 100 or larger. In this case, orbits becomes close to the gravitational radius, arbitrarily close. And counter-rotating case, it will have some limit located outside. So these orbits are very interesting because it means that in the presence of magnetic field, innermost stable orbit come closer and closer to the horizon. And you can make it as close as you want. This is angular velocity on the innermost stable orbit and angular momentum. And this is how the plots of this angular velocity is a function either location of the innermost stable orbit. It's for neutral case, and this is for Kerr space-time, or it's in terms of logarithm of magnetic field. So this is give you periods of rotation. So there are more complicated trajectories which are corresponding to this kind of motion. So I omit this part because it's not, so as I told, it's type of trajectory which are possible. So finally, if you have a large parameter B, particle will be moving in such a way that's going with some drift velocity here. So now, what is our, so what we are studying now innermost stable orbits, circular orbits, and practically can think about the following problem. You have accretion disk of some plasma which ends at some distance from a neutral black hole at 6m. And after particle are freely falling neutral particle to the black hole. But if your particle is ion or charged particle, it cannot free fall. And we start moving in this gap between the this accretion disk and gravitational radius in some trajectories which are supported by magnetic field. If you have this kind of trajectory, it will be strong synchrotron radiation from the particle which take particle down to this circular orbit. So for this reason, we can expect that circular motion will be of the most interest. So what are lessons of this exercise? So first of all, gravitational radius of innermost stable orbit can be done as close to gravitational radius as you want if you supply black hole with a strong enough magnetic field. Energy release, it's energy between infinity and innermost stable orbit. It's mc square. Practically all the energy of mc square you can extract. It's even more powerful than mechanism for rotating black hole. And angular velocity becomes small when you come to the innermost stable orbit. It's because of the time delay effect. So what we are trying to do now is the following. We use this kind of information and try to find out structure of the K alpha lines broadening in the magnetized black hole. So part of work is already done. What is the main motivation of this work is the following. So orbits can be closer. Periods are different, and looking at the structure of these lines, a spectrum, we may say something about magnetic field in the vicinity of black hole. So this is our hope, but it's not done. I will not be speaking anymore about this. So orbit images are well known thing. You need only make ray tracing in the Schwarzschild geometry. So this is how orbits near the black hole are visible from far distance. This is the innermost stable orbit. And it depends on the inclination angle. So it's when you're close, point of view, close to horizon, you can see this Napoleon head structure. So when you have this orbits which are closer than Iskov or Schwarzschild, they have slightly different forms. So we constructed this form of this. So point, it's a position of Iskov 1.2 gravitational radius and 1.5 green and blue. And when you look from the top, it's practically circular. But when you close to the equatorial plane, you can see that these orbits are of this type. Now, there is one interesting thing about, there is a very old idea that physics in the black hole vicinity may be interesting to provide us with some kind of natural accelerator. So, Banana, Silk, and West make interesting observation that when you have a rotating black hole and consider colliding of two particles falling to the black hole with especially adjusted angular momentum, it's possible, in principle, to obtain center of mass energy after this interaction, arbitrary large. So effect is proportional 1 minus a divided by m to the power minus 4. So it requires that black hole must be extremely rotating and very special choice fine-tuning for these trajectories. So it was demonstrated later, Ted Jacobson and others, that it's in physical situation, this amplification of center of mass energy cannot be so huge because a black hole cannot be absolutely extremely rotating, and all this reduces infinity to some finite values. Our observation is that magnetized black hole can be worked as accelerators through slightly different mechanism. So let's consider the following problem. Let's consider first charged particle in the equatorial plane in magnetized black hole, which is sitting or rotating in the innermost stable orbit. And second particle of mass mu is freely falling. So at the moment of collision, the four-dimensional momentum will be sum of these two momentums, and center of mass energy will be defined by masses of these particles and the relative scalar product of this momentum. So this is the most important part. Let's look what may happen in. So this is a illustration. So we have charged black hole, we have particle rotating in the innermost stable orbit, and something strikes this particle, and we calculate center mass energy in this system. So this is the information about momentum of particle at ISCA. This is a freely falling particle with angular momentum component Lz and E. And simple calculations show you that M square contains this factor, which is a P mu, PK product. This is a velocity at the orbit, and this is a finite and restricted by some number. But what is important, it's 1 divided by square root 1 minus RGR. It's 1 divided by redshift factor. Since this orbit is very close to the gravitational radius, this factor can go to infinity. And for this mass, this is the main part, and this mass, center of mass, energy in the center of mass is proportional to radius of ISCA minus 1 in the force 1 over the 4, and it's proportional to the 1 of the divided by 4 power of magnetic field. So the stronger field, the larger this, and then practically you can think about that it can be made arbitrarily large. But magnetic field is restricted, so again, you have this kind of mechanism like accelerator, but it's quite different, and physics of this mechanism is very simple. So particle which is rotating near black hole, charged particle, its velocity is small, and relativistic gamma factor for this rotation is small, around 2, so it's not highly relativistic. But what is important is that its position is very close to horizon. Another particle is falling in gravitational field and is blue-shifted by the gravitational redshift factor. And when it strikes this particle, this red, blue shift factor works, and this is the main effect. So in neutral black holes, it cannot have particle sitting or rotating a black hole at smaller distance. So this mechanism does not work. In magnetized black hole, it can work effectively. So this idea was used and generalized for the case of rotating black hole by Harada, Kimura in 2012. A few words about motion of the particle out of equatorial plane. So consider again situation. We have magnetized black hole, non-rotating. We have plane, equatorial plane, orthogonal to magnetic field, and there is a particle in the circular motion. Now we ask the following question. So we try to pick, produce some velocity orthogonal to the equatorial plane to kick the particle and find out what this particle will be doing. So the idea is that if you make it very strongly, particle will go and becomes go to infinity enough to propagate a magnetic field with the synchrotron radius rotation. So what happens in the case of the magnetized black hole is quite interesting. Namely, near black hole, when magnetic field may be somehow neglected, gravitational field is strong, it's a completely integrable system, and or in the equatorial plane, it's a completely integrable system. Outside, at far distance, when gravitational field is weak, you again have a completely integrable system because it's a magnetic field in flat space-time. But between them, you lose this complete integrability, and there is only three integrals of motion, and particle motion is four-dimensional. So for this reason, you may expect that motion of your particle will be more complicated, less organized, and simply speaking, chaotic. It's exactly what we can observe. So we produce some velocity in, we consider innermost stable orbit to make some choice, and we kick this particle in the innermost stable orbit in the vertical direction with some velocity. It will have some energy. And there are three possible asymptotic outcomes. Either such a particle will be captured, or it will escape in direction of B, or it's also there is a possibility that finally it will escape in the direction opposite to B. So let's put for this outcome point red in the space of parameters, for this green and for this yellow. So what happens when you make this calculation? So first of all, trajectories, as I told, may be quite complicated. So you send particle up, it's going somewhere, and magnetic field returning back started rotating, it's go down, cross equatorial plane, and finally go in B direction. Or you kick it up, it goes in this way, enough to go to other direction. This is the samples. So this is a more complicated thing. So it's very difficult to speak in these terms because pictures are very strongly depend on the how you kick, what is the initial. But there is some natural way how to make it description more complete. Namely, this is what is called Bayesian of boundaries plots construction for this. So here is this energy of the particle which is kicked. So this is a innermost stable orbit radius. This is a for positive, and this is a for negative angular momentum. So what we are doing? So idea of this is the following, that we put green, so we make kick, so we have, suppose magnetic field is fixed, and we put some energy. So if energy is not sufficient, red, it will be trapped by the black hole. So if it will be large enough, it will go to infinity. But if it's somewhere between them, it will be yellow. The same thing here. But in this case, you can consider and find out what happens in the vicinity of this critical escape velocity, and you can show, demonstrate that it has fractal structure. So what does it mean? It means that you can make a strip, for example, vertical strip, and oops. So this is a sample of the strip. And you can see that there is a repetition of black, white, yellow, and so on. So how you can obtain some information about how chaotic this process is? You can do the following. You can consider covering of this by square strips of size epsilon and find out, denote the number which is required for size epsilon to cover your Bayesian boundary. Each of the strip must contain at least two different colors. The box counting fractal dimension is given by this thing. It's logarithm of n divided logarithm epsilon minus 1. And this is a quantity between 1 and 2. It characterizes chaoticity dimensionality. So simple illustration how it works in simplest case. So you have sharp boundary. And for sharp boundary, you cover it by the squares of size epsilon. It requires number n, this one. So for this reason, d is equal 1, it's just dimensionality of this boundary. So suppose you have a two-dimensional surface. So number of strips required will be inverse proportional to epsilon square. In this case, dimensionality of this is equal to 2. So it shows that in our case, so this is a plot of logarithm n with respect to logarithm of epsilon. And for positive L, in our energy interval, it's 1.6. And in this interval, it's 1.85 for negative angular momentum. So it demonstrates that our the motion of this particle is chaotic and give idea about fractals, dimensionality of fractal structure. So this is a quite interesting example how, when you have this change from a completely integrable system to chaotic system. And what happens here, physically, it's very simple. You have two domains. When gravity is more important, magnetic field is more important. And this is a regular motion. And between them, there is a domain where they have equal, approximately equal strength. When particle move completely integrable from gravitational part thing to the this intermediate part, its motion start be not predictable because it can move different ways. And this is the origin of when these two fields play the same role, have the same strength, this region becomes sensitive to the initial conditions of your particle. And this is the origin of this scarcity. Okay, so this, I didn't consider any dissipation mechanism, but if you start kicking these particles, you'll have some kind of diffusion. So you have some time spent by this particle in the intermediate region and after decide where to go. If you may include a diffusion mechanism, so synchrotron radiation or something, there will be some damping. So we didn't make it. So several highlights of this talk, they're the following. So first of all, in astrophysical setup, you can expect existence of magnetic field. And how important magnetic field for the charged particle motion is controlled by dimensional parameter. And this dimensionless parameter is of order of one for very weak magnetic fields. So effect of magnetic field for single particles must be important. New feature is that magnetic field makes it possible to move position of innermost stable circular orbit closer to gravitational radius, and efficiency of energy release and period of isoparticle strongly depend on the parameter of magnetic field. Center of mass energy for collision of free falling particle and charged particle revolving near magnetized black hole can be formally at least arbitrarily large, proportional to the 1 divided by 4 power of magnetic field. Near critical escape motion out of equatorial plane is chaotic, and the basin of boundaries plots have fractal structure. And one more thing we are trying to do now with this, we are trying to play with this K alpha line broadening. Idea is that if you have these single ions, ferrum ions, falling from this region of accretion disk to the black hole, they're in the region where magnetic field is important for their motion, and they may have this kind of circular motion. And in this case, when you look at the line broadening, you need to study what happens with the spectrum, and spectrum deformation will depend how close your orbit are to the black hole, and curvature effect on the propagation of light becomes also important. Somehow it's very close to the effect of rotation. In general, there is similarity, and it's because of the general Larmor theorem. So charged particle motion in magnetic field is similar to the neutral particle motion in the rotating frame. So for this reason, there is many similarities between neutral black hole magnetized and charged particle motion from one side, another neutral particle motion and rotating black hole. Certainly, when you consider them together, rotation, magnetic field, you may expect more interesting things. But you have more parameter of space, so parameter space, larger dimensional, it requires some work. So our hope in this project is that looking at this broadening of line for these emitters in this domain close to the black hole, you can have additional information not only about the gravitational field, but about the magnetic field as well, because period and position depends on the magnetic field. I don't know whether it will be possible to do in a realistic situation now or later, but in principle, this information will be hidden in this kind of things. So that's all. So.
And the reason is because the very first condition you mentioned, I think, is exactly the condition that people assume is satisfied that allows them to use MHD. You're assuming that the Larmor radius is small compared to the system size, which is roughly the same state. And that that means that we have fluids, not particles, accreting onto black holes, and they're dragging the magnetic fields, and the back reaction, which you've set aside, is critically important. And whenever anybody does these GRMHD simulations, this is what they're doing. And I'm just not sure where you get this limit where the back reaction isn't important and magnetic fields right about the right amount to have a big effect. So could you help me?
There are two things. So first of all, this Larmor size smaller than the size of the black hole is for this oscillation, but there is also a dragging effect. Because of this presence of gravitational field, which change the velocity of rotation and change the parameters of Keplerian orbit. So it's not only moving in this way and with the Keplerian velocity around the black hole. In this case, the Keplerian position of Keplerian orbit remains the same. This action of the gravitational field on this rotation is non-trivial. It produced dragging effect with some additional velocity in the direction of rotation Keplerian or other. So for this reason, this supportive force from magnetic field, which for single particle change the characteristic of the motion. So for this reason, this kind of things somehow important, but important is that also this dragging velocity. And this is a changing of the global position of the innermost stable orbit. So this is what I try to stress.
But this is for one particle without back reaction on the field.
Yes.
As soon as I have multiple species, you know, they're coupled together strongly by any number of other processes. So this is the plasma stuff that we said set aside, but it's really there. And now the whole thing's a big fluid dragging magnetic fields around the black hole. So I'm just trying to figure out region of applicability.
Now, as I pointed out, there is a lot of simplifications here. So we neglect this plasma effect. So our idea is that plasma keeps this accretion disk up to some radius and after single atoms or ions falling down. And there is some kind of regular magnetic field seating. And we are looking what happens with these ions, for example, for the K-alpha Brodink line. So we'll be leaving some time moving along these orbits we study. But they may they not fall directly, but because of this effect of magnetic field, they may stabilize the motion at the radius close to gravitational radius and innermost stable orbit and live there some time. So if this kind of particle exists and other interactions are not important, this will be some kind of approximation. So I don't insist that it's a complete problem.
Well, maybe we can talk more later. I think in that exact situation, you start to have problems.
It's a slightly related question. So when you consider these off equator trajectories, you mentioned at the beginning of your talk that one of the things you wanted to try to assess is this collimation. So is this the reason why you consider this?
No, not really. So you know that there are two sides of this problem. I think that there is another side which I like very much, that general relativity in simple situation and black hole physics give very nice examples even to give to students of problems. Chaoticity arises in the system and so on. It's not connected with the collimation because in our approximation we consider homogeneous magnetic field, which is we don't speak about support of this magnetic field. For this reason, if this magnetic field exists, there will be collimation. Particle will be going in some volume. But I need to support this magnetic field by some forces and self-consistent. And this is not present in this model.
Sure, but even in this plasma simulation, with say a rotating black hole, and you get a jet that is collimated within the narrow region, right? Say the region of the ergosphere of the black hole. So I'm not sure if you were trying to then connect with that. I mean, do you think you could consider these particles? Answer why is it is collimated?
I would like very much, the problem is that need to understand difference, and it's a very big difference between plasma and single particle. And plasma have two different regimes. It's force-free plasma, and so magnetic field is more frozen in the particle or plasma, and what is the plasma is moving and taking magnetic field with it, or magnetic field is determining the direction of plasma. So this is very different from the single particle. So maybe this kind of chaoticity somehow, it's a robust thing. So for any situation, it doesn't depend on this assumption about magnetic field. So you can make dipole type, so it will be the same. So there were some papers. So important is that you break complete integrability. So this kticity is generic property. Maybe how, somehow it will be possible to see it in the plasma regime approximation. It may happen, but this is something which is not only for this special model, but for a larger class of models. So for this reason, it's very interesting, but certainly it's not sufficient to say about a realistic situation what you are doing in computers.
Any other question? No, let us think battery again. This year feels more.